Sometimes I just wonder how they're going to actually come across, because sometimes the way it's in my brain, and I don't always get it on paper the way I feel it, and I have to trust God that he's going to work it out. If you will turn with me to Revelations, the scary book of Revelations. And verse 11, I know that there's a lot of, you know, eschatology that goes into all this. I'm going to try, I'm going to not walk down that path as much as I want to maybe bring a thought today. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they overcame him. Everybody said they overcame him. How many want to overcome him? Not a trick question. Honestly, I'm not fooling you at all. How many want to overcome him? We're talking about the devil. All right. Y'all looking at him like, all right, what are you setting me up for here? I know what my notes say. You guys must automatically know this. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I say the word of their testimony. You have a testimony? And they loved not their lives unto the death. Sort of got a thought, and how it came to me is kind of interesting. I was reading one place and just was reading another place, and then all of a sudden I got this thought to go here, and then I got a thought to go there, and somehow it all come together and it made something, I think. Hopefully I didn't make a mess. Overcome by a testimony. Overcome by a testimony. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Jesus, God, I ask, Lord, that you would help me tonight as I preach your word, as I speak your word. God, as I declare the truth of your word, God, I pray, Lord, that I would speak faith into our hearts. God, that as we've heard, Lord, the difficult things that are going on around us, people who need a touch from you, people who are in some very dire and difficult situations, and hope may seem like it's far away, but Jesus, we understand that you are the giver of hope. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to share this in the right way and in the right manner, God, that you'd help me to rightly divide your word. And God, I don't want it to just be a sermon, but God, I pray that it would be encouragement, God, that it would be uplifting, God, that it would help us, Lord, in our walk with you. And God, I pray, Lord, that when I'm done here tonight, that someone in this room, Lord, would have a greater desire to share their testimony, to declare what you have done in their lives to a world that needs to know you. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, for your anointing one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Overcome by a testimony. If I was to give this a subtitle, which I don't often give a subtitle, it would be called The Second Miracle. The Second Miracle. We all, I think, in this room here tonight, as I look around, are all pretty familiar with the story of the Samaritan woman. We're familiar with the fact that Jesus said that I must needs go to Samaria. He said that I have to go there, and it was there that he sat down on a well and he waited for the Samaritan woman to come by to drip, to get her water. And it was there that he was waiting. He was waiting to share with her. He was waiting to talk with her. He was waiting to bring her from a place of of trouble and a place of sin to a place of forgiveness and a place of reconciliation. And we know the story as she has this dissertation with Jesus, and he goes through and he begins to tell her the things that she's done in her life. And she says, yes, he says, I know what your family situation's like. I know. And he begins to recount to her what took place. He began to recount to her what her current situation was, what her past situation was. And he tells her all those things, and she's floored by it. And usually we end the story talking about, you know, what Jesus told her and what Jesus said to her. But I want to pick this story up now from a later point. Because if you drop down just a little while after that, and you're still in John chapter 4, and you go to verse 39, you come to another place, and it is referring back to the same story, but I want to read what it says. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. For what she said, they believed. For the saying of the woman, which, everybody say with me, testified. She had a testimony that he told her all that ever she did. In other words, he walked down her life. He began to tell her everything that she did in her life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if that's a testimony or an indictment. I'll get there, don't worry. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who wants to have their whole life opened up and exposed. That says, this is every single thing you've ever done. This woman testified that Jesus told her everything that she had done. And because of this testimony, the Bible says that when the many Samaritans of that city believed on him. Let's keep reading. I'm going to get into this here. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed, watch, because of his own word. In other words, many believe because of her words. Many more believe because of his words. She, from her testimony, brought them to him. Jesus began to speak to them himself, and many more believed. And they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. It almost seems to me like they're trying to discredit her for her testimony, but that is not the case. The fact of the matter was, they would not have come in contact with Jesus without her testimony. If it wasn't for the fact that this woman went back and began to tell them and began to share her testimony, they would not have come in contact with Jesus. They never would have believed in him. They would never have believed on him if it had not been told them. Matter of fact, this woman's troubles and her sins only gave power to her testimony. As I wrote this, the thought hit me. What was thought of by Satan to be the thing that would hold her, scar her, and keep her trapped became the very thing Jesus turned around This was supposed to be her entrapment. This was supposed to be what kept her. This was supposed to be what held her. This was supposed to be what made her stay in bondage, stay in sin. She would never be able to get out of this. But the very thing, Jesus turned around, and instead of those things trapping her, cursing her, discrediting her, they became the very thing that brought others to him. What happened? She overcame them by her testimony. Her testimony was simple. It was, I was told everything that I ever done. It wasn't, look at me, look at all my bad. It was, look what the Lord has done. I'm going to get somewhere, maybe. It was, I was lost, but now I'm found. It was, I was blind, but now I see. It was, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It was, look what the Lord has done. It was, this song hit me so strong. And I was singing it. My joy was like, what's that song, Dad? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I have a rough voice, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. It was love that lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted. You see, that's her testimony. That was her testimony. It was, her testimony was, he told me everything I ever did. But it goes greater than that. Because her testimony was greater than him just telling her everything he did or she did. Because hear me. The accuser of the brethren would also like to tell you everything that you've ever done. He would like to line it up and put it out there and display it for everybody to see and say, well, he's done this and he's done that and he's done this and he's done that. And before long, our heads are held in shame, and we're down in despair, and we think there's no way out, and we think we're in trouble. Why? Because he wants to tell us everything we've done. Why? So that he will hide our testimony. But Jesus tells you everything you've done, not to hide your testimony. But he came for a different reason. He told you why you did it. Let me read my notes. They're better. Her testimony was greater than that because the accuser of the brethren would like to tell you everything you ever did as well. But something different came from Jesus. It wasn't, let me tell you everything you ever did and then condemn you by it. But instead, it was, let me tell you everything you ever did and then give you a testimony of how love saved you from this. The difference between the accuser and Jesus is the accuser tells you everything you ever did so that he can entrap you, while Jesus says, let me tell you everything you ever did so that I can give you a testimony that look where I was, but now look where he's brought me from. Notice what they said. They said unto the woman, now we believe because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Where did they get this? How did they get this? Because they now had a testimony of their own that he was the Savior of the world. I'm going to try to relay this overcome by a testimony. I don't know if I'll get it right. Because Luke chapter 21, verse 8, it says, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. Now, once again, I'm into eschatology passages, and most times when people go there, everyone starts to either check out or form an opinion about where I'm going. I'm not going any of those places. I'm going somewhere else. He said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my sake. Let me tell you where Jesus was at right here. Jesus was telling them, yes, there is an end time coming, but before that, you church, the first church, you're going to have to face some things. You're going to be persecuted. They're going to deliver you from the synagogues. Read the book of Acts. You'll see all this in play. He said, you're going to be delivered up to the synagogues. You're going to be delivered into prisons. You're going to be brought before kings, rulers, for my name's sake. Sounds like trouble. Sounds like we're in trouble. Uh-oh. What's going to happen now? Because there's going to be all kinds of trouble, trials. There's going to be all kinds of pain and torment and issues and things in their life. And he says, oh, don't you worry, you apostles that I've been training, you apostles that I've been walking with, you apostles that I've been showing you. By the way, they're going to deliver you up into prisons. They're going to take you from the synagogues. They're going to cast you out. They're going to put you before kings and rulers. You're going to face all kinds of trouble. But I want you to notice, he doesn't stop it there. He says this, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. He says, what was supposed to be your demise? What was supposed to be that thing that destroyed you? What was supposed to be that thing that would mess you up and tear you up and tear you down and cause you to not... What was supposed to be that which was going to be against you? He says, I will turn that there into a testimony. I will show. What do you think the book of Acts is? The book of Acts is simply the testimony of the church that they tried everything that they could to stop it, that they did everything they could to tear it down, destroy it, and remove it. They wanted to get rid of all of those who preached Jesus, but they couldn't. Why? Because their testimony overcame it. You see, what happened there can be turned today. Because John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And has anyone in this life ever had tribulation? I'm not talking about the great tribulation that everyone talks about. I'm talking about tribulation. I'm talking about struggle. I'm talking about trials. I'm talking about instances when things aren't right, when things seem to be failing around you, when everything seems to be faltering, when everything seems to be falling apart. And let me tell you, it's no fun. He says, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. What is he telling you? I am going to turn what is trying to destroy you. I am going to turn that which is trying to tear you down and rip you apart, and I am going to turn that into a testimony. You see, Paul says it like this in 2 Timothy 3 and 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall have a bed of roses. Shall have everything in your life go perfect. We'll never have another trouble. We'll never have another trial. It's not what it says, does it? But all that live godly will. That's not a question. That's a statement. That is going to take place. Let me tell you, if you try to live godly, you will suffer persecution. You will suffer afflictions. You will have trials. But let me tell you, what is supposed to be and what is trying to rip you apart, what is trying to come against you, what is trying to work against you, all of those persecutions cannot. They simply turn for a testimony. So what is a testimony? What is a testimony? I looked it up. I didn't go to the dictionary. I just went to my Greek concordance. It's something evidential. It's evidence or proof that it happened. So your trial, your persecution, your affliction is turned into evidence that God saw you through. It's turned into evidence that what was trying to destroy you is now under your feet. What is trying to come against you. See, we often talk about overcoming by prayer. We often talk about overcoming by fasting, and I'm not against any of those things. They need to be. We talk about overcoming by prayer. We talk about overcoming by fasting. We talk about overcoming by worship and praise. We talk about overcoming by a lot of different things. Let me tell you another weapon that's given to us that I don't know that we use totally. It's the weapon that says, I'm going to overcome by my testimony. I'm going to overcome by telling someone, look what the Lord has done in my life. Look what has happened. Look where he's brought me from. Look what he saved me from. Look what he's done. I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was going through this trial, but somehow, miraculously, he saw me through. I couldn't see a way. I couldn't see the end. I couldn't see nothing happening, but somehow God brought me through. It's a testimony. In other words, it's evidence of the power of God in our life. But a testimony is something that is spoken. A testimony is something that is said. It is not kept on the inside. It is not kept for just, well, this is between me and God. No, a testimony shares. A testimony tells. A testimony, when you stand and you testify before a judge, you have to open your mouth.
When you testify, there has to... I don't feel like I'm conveying it right. I don't feel like... Maybe my nap was too long. We need to not be silent when we're out and about and we see people. Let me tell you a way to get through your struggles. Let me tell you a way to get through your trial, to get through your troubles. Testify. Well, I don't know what to testify about. Yes, you do. Has God ever done anything good in your life? Has He ever done anything in your life? You have a testimony. It's just right now it's being blocked by some other things, by another event. Look, it was David who said, look, they said, how can you kill that giant that's standing? He says, well, I have this testimony. There was once a lion and a bear. There was once something in my past that I recognized the hand of God was working in my life. So now you all are looking at a giant and you're all looking at this trouble and it seems too big for you, but I'm going to overcome. Why? Because I have a testimony. I don't care if you've been in church for a week or all your life, you've got a testimony. Our testimonies may be different. Our testimonies may seem different, but you have a testimony and somebody needs to hear it. It's not just for their benefit, though. It's because God says, I want you to. Revelation, I'm going to be done here in just a minute. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Now is come salvation. Oh, I'm not going to get into all the whether it's that pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. I don't care. Because the fact of the matter is, the scripture tells me that now is come salvation. I know this, that when Jesus set me free, when He washed my sins and filled me with His Spirit, salvation came to me. Salvation is come. Strength is come. The kingdom of our God has come. The power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. I'm trying to show us that there's a way to cast down the accuser in your life. There's a way to get rid of the accuser. There's a way to shut him up. There's a way to close him up. There's a way to get him out where he can't mess with you, where he can't come against you. Watch, for the accuser, the brethren cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. How did this happen? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ that is applied. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. And, everybody say and, by the word of the testimony. How do I get rid of him in my life? How do I come against that accuser that keeps bombarding me? I'll tell you how. I'm going to give you a quick secret right here. You want to get him to quit messing with you? Start testifying. Start saying, look what the Lord has done. Oh, I once was lost, but now I've found. I once had no mercy, but now I do. There is thou therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is He that... You can quote verse after verse, but there's nothing more important than sharing. Oh, devil, you don't understand. I once was this, and I once was that, and this once happened to me, but His blood, it washed me, it cleansed me. And now, I have a testimony. You want to get him? You want to get the devil cast down? Start sharing your testimony. Is there somebody you work with? Is there somebody you walk by? Is there somebody you see every day? Is there people that you come in contact with? There's people that live around you. Is there people that you're constantly going around and you seem to always run into them? Guess what? May just might be Jesus wants you to share your testimony. Oh, there's some things he wants to overcome for you. There's some things he wants you to make it through. But he said, there's a testimony that needs to be shared. I'm going to overcome by my testimony. See, here it is. I'm going to bring in my point here, hopefully. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 49. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, the nobleman said, if you don't come, my child's going to die. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Stop. If you would back up just a couple verses, you will find that this man was coming to Jesus. And Jesus said, wait a minute here. All you guys are looking for a sign. All you guys want to know a sign. And then he looks at this man, and he says, go thy way, thy son lives. The miracle was that his son was revived. The miracle was that his son was made whole. And it tells us about it in verse 51. And he was now going down. His servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then they inquired he of them the hour which when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left. So the father knew. Everybody say knew. That it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed and his whole house. You ready? This is again the second miracle that Jesus did. Now I know that this is talking about the second miracle, being the first one was at Cana when Jesus took the water, turned it into wine. This is actually the second miracle that Jesus did. When he was come out of Judea into Galilee. But I'm going to preach to us. I want to tell you that there is a second miracle. The first miracle is that the miracle actually happens. Got that? That's pretty deep, ain't it? The first miracle is that the miracle actually happens. The second miracle was that it gave him a testimony. The second miracle was he was able to pinpoint and he was able to say it was at the very hour when Jesus spoke it, it happened. He went there and the second miracle happened when he could now testify that this was Jesus. You see, you overcome by the testimony, but the second miracle is the miracle that we actually tell what Jesus did. The second miracle is that you and I actually share what Jesus has done in our life. Let's all stand. I know when to be short. I'm good at it. I've been short all my life. The miracle is what Jesus done in your life. Has he saved you? Has he washed you? Has he cleansed you? Has he healed you? Has he delivered you? Does somebody have a testimony of what Jesus has done in your life? Do you know what it is? That's the first miracle. The second miracle is this. That you actually tell what he did. That you go to somebody who doesn't know and you begin to share with them. See, to many of us, that's a miracle. I'm being honest. To many of us, we keep this to a secret. We can keep this to ourselves. We can keep this and say, well, I know what God did for me. I'm just shy. I just get backward in front of people. I'm just afraid to tell somebody. I just keep things to myself. And we can go through this life. The greatest danger is that you can walk through your whole life and nobody even knows you're a Christian. Nobody even knows you love God. Nobody even knows you serve Him. Nobody even knows that He's done anything great in your life. That's a danger. That's a trouble. The first miracle is that He did it. The second miracle is that you share it. How many want the second miracle alive in your life? I know I played on words there. I know I played on words. Don't try to get real theological with me right there. I played on words, and I know that. But I'm here to tell us the second miracle is the fact that you and I need to share our testimony. There's a whole lot of overcoming that we could have in our lives if we would open our mouths and begin to declare to others what God has done in our lives. That we would not be shy about it. We would not be timid about it. We would not be backward about it. That we would not go through the stores and go through the halls and go through our jobs and go through our day without sharing what God has done in our life. I'm here to tell you that there is an overcoming power that comes when we begin to declare our testimony. And I don't know about you, but I want that miracle in my life. I by nature am a very shy person. I by nature am a very backward person. It takes a lot of work for me to get out and talk. Oh, I'm fine standing here. This don't bother me a bit. Put me in a room where I don't know anybody and I'm scared to death. I know what it's like to go through and be timid and be shy, but I want the miracle of my ability to be able to share what God has done in my life. I want Him to be able to take those things that were distressing me, those things that have troubled me, those things that have plagued me and tormented me and hurt me and caused me to be despondent and all those other things. I want Him to turn that and make that a testimony on my lips that says, look what God has done. And so tonight, my altar call is simple. I want each of us to pray that the second miracle would become alive in our lives. It's one thing that He did it. It's another thing, do I share it? Does anybody else know? When was the last time somebody heard your testimony? When was the last time you shared with someone the goodness and the greatness and the power and the awesomeness of this God that you serve? We need a second miracle. This church needs a second miracle. I need a second miracle. We all need a second miracle. The miracle to be able to open our lips and declare what God has done. Let's come. Let's find a place. Let's talk to God. Let's ask Him to help us.